Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about ways to overcome the process of forming thoughts and opinions based on a belief in two powers. In this show, we will discuss ways of awakening the seven spiritual centers in consciousness. Listen as we explore the differences between the mortal mind seeking choices against the divine mind resting in the truth. Welcome to The Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and reflect divine truth. Swami, the title of today's show is Stop Thinking and Start Knowing. What is it you'd like us to know about this title?
Yeah, this is something we've been working on for some time now. The idea thinking is the problem. And we have something from Mary Baker Eddy to help us launch the show in a paper called Body Says, and I'll read it. Our sufficiency to think is of God. Our ability to form thoughts and opinions is of our own ignorance, our belief in duality. But our power or sufficiency to think is when we think with God as God. End of quote. She actually is saying this in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, again on page Roman numeral 7, 13 to 21. And I'll read that. The time for thinkers has come. Truth, independent of doctrines and time-honored systems, knocks at the portal of humanity. Contentment with the past and the cold conventionality of materialism are crumbling away. Ignorance of God is no longer the stepping stone to faith. The only guarantee of obedience is a right apprehension of Him, whom to know aright is life eternal. Though empires fall, the Lord shall reign forever. End of quote. Yeah, this idea of the time for thinkers, it's really time that we start to understand the limitations of reason, human intelligence, and start to understand beyond this mental material world of energy lies the kingdom of heaven, the invisible, intangible, omnipresence, perfect eternal life.
So I'd like to talk more about the first quote that you had said, and I'll just read that first line. Our sufficiency to think is of God. Where do you think we as a human population, where do you think we're kind of going wrong?
Well, see, we accept the information that's coming through the corporeal senses, and the Bible calls that sowing to the flesh. And what we want to do is learn how to sow to the spirit. We have explained this since the inception of Institute for Personal Development. The idea of the divine creation, this concept of God, is everywhere and in everything. And yet, no one sees it. The reason we don't see this is because the mind that we use to get us through this lifetime works on contrast. It works on duality. In order for something to materialize, it must split from unity, manifest in half, and then leave behind a complementary, unmanifested other part. Now, the mortal mind works on that contrast. You're working with duality. And the more you understand how all of this is working, the only reality is spirit, the unified state. Mary Baker Eddy calls this world a reflection. Just like when you look at yourself in a mirror, that image that is seemingly looking back at you, there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in that reflection. And the same is true with the mental material concept of life. As long as we believe in it and we cling to it, we're what the Bible calls living in sin. We're in the wrong self. And we're like a branch cut off from the vine. We're going to wither and die. We are the prodigal out of the Father's house. But it's very unfortunate for humanity that collectively we do not understand this. And as a result, we don't understand how it's working.
So do we have to make a distinction between thinking and our thoughts? Because, you know, like she was saying, our sufficiency is to think is when we think with God as God. And before that, she says, our thoughts are from our own ignorance and belief in duality. So it makes me think that we should be aware that there's two different things that we're talking about here.
Exactly. We have to make a distinction between thinking and this concept of knowing. Thinking is what we do with the mortal mind. We form opinions and make choices based on this information that's coming through our five material senses. Now, once we stop thinking and we make the mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of the divine creation, which is invisible and intangible to corporeal sense, in that silence and in that stillness, we watch, we wait, we listen, and we let this divine truth reveal itself to us. Now, that's a whole inner event that we have to be cognizant of in order to really be able to graduate from thinking with this mind that can't bring forth the divine image and knowing with this truth that is functioning everywhere always.
I really like that line that she said in the second quote that you had recited for us. Ignorance of God is no longer the stepping stone to faith. Is she talking about religion and their idea of what faith is?
Well, I think you're right. This idea of blind faith. Because for Mary Baker Eddy, faith is like what Paul says. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Faith is a phase in development where your belief in the divine truth begins to reveal itself. Or as like James says, faith without works is dead. Faith is when you're starting to prove your belief in this divine principle. Spirit is a demonstrable principle. It's a law. But what we're learning is we must be conscious of it in order to activate it in experience. That's why healing becomes so important in understanding this divine truth.
Swami, I have another curiosity about the quote that you had recited, and it's the quote, "The time for thinkers has come." I can't help thinking that there's probably a really deeper meaning to that.
Yeah, I really think some people misinterpret what she's saying here. The time means it's over. Thinking is no longer the way that we want to approach our lives. We want to get out of this mental material concept of life. And in order to do that, we have to graduate from thinking to knowing. The term in the Bible is called repent. And the translation that Mary Baker Eddy has for that is think differently. So we stop thinking with the material senses, but we start knowing with our spiritual senses.
So Swami, how do we start the process of knowing with these spiritual senses?
Yeah, a constructive way to become conscious of the seven spiritual centers is start by educating thought up to spiritual apprehension. Now, here at Institute for Personal Development, we use the image of the zodiac and the seven personal planets in the solar system as a diagram of universal consciousness. Mary Baker Eddy also suggests that you have a proper sense of the infinite. Now, this image that we use is also referred to in the Bible in Revelations, where it talks about the man, the bull, the lion, and the eagle. It's very helpful to see that that imagery is found all over the planet. The Sphinx in Egypt was the head of the man, the body of the bull, the paws of the lion, the wings of a phoenix, which was the eagle-like bird out of its own ashes would regenerate. That was the original symbol for Scorpio. When you put what's called the fixed signs on the angles, in astrology, you wind up with the zodiac in a way that the planets that are associated with the chakras are in alignment with the signs that they rule. Now, of course, this could be all astrological jargon to you, but it's just putting pieces of the puzzle together. Because what you really want is a way of creating an astral image, a mental image for the divine self, the infinite spiritual body. Because otherwise, you wind up falling into the trap of coming out of this idea of a personal sense of self and winding up with no self. The process in development begins where you divide and you conquer before you unite and stand. We can't divide by zero. If we have no self, then the process ends right there. What you need is this idea of one self. And ideally, you want that one self to be the divine self, the perfection of being, because that's the truth. And your belief in that divine principle will graduate into this faith that now starts to demonstrate the omnipresence of the divine principle. And to get there, you're going to have to educate the mind you're using to get you through this lifetime to a level where you can graduate to spiritual apprehension. Because at some point, we need to walk reason through the open door of revelation. But like we say in Kriya Yoga, the effortful work of concentration later becomes the effortless flow state of meditation. Now, meditation is a term that Mary Baker Eddy never uses once. Yet, her term prayer is the equivalent of the Kriya Yoga term meditation. And the reason I know this is because for Mary Baker Eddy, prayer is communion with the divine. And one of her suggestions in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures is to live above corporeal sense and correct it. In Kriya Yoga, meditation is the seventh stage of this eight-stage process. But the fifth stage of Kriya Yoga is pratyahara, which is sense withdrawal. So you can see it's a different language that's being used, but what we're trying to do is get to a state of being one with the divine principle.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Institute for Personal Development Incorporated is a Kriya Yoga ashram offering yoga classes in all eight stages of Kriya Yoga, including classes, personal training, teacher training, residential program, online live classes, and online products for self-discovery and transformation. Discover, learn, and practice one of the oldest and purest forms of yoga, Kriya Yoga, by uniting ancient religion with modern science. Visit www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, I'm hoping that we can talk more about these seven spiritual centers and maybe help us have a better understanding.
Yeah. In Revelations in the Bible, they're represented by churches. In Kriya Yoga, they are represented by chakras. And I really like a term that I heard from a Christian Science Daily Lift where Deb Hensley called them thought windows. Actually, she called it a thought window. But when I heard it, I immediately translated into seven thought windows. In Kriya Yoga, we call them energy converters. But the idea of a church means Lord's house. House in the Bible means consciousness. So the divine consciousness, these places in consciousness where thought and the divine idea are one in the same. And however you represent that in your system or how you're educating your thought up to spiritual apprehension really doesn't matter as long as what you're doing is thorough and complete. We use the Cretan labyrinth as a tool to dispense the information associated with each center. Now, here's a broad example to help dispense the information. The paths are represented by a number, a chakra, a church in Revelation, a Christian Science word for the Lord's house, a planet, a zodiacal sign, an obstruction, a nadi, an element, a modality, a tribe in Israel, a stone, and a percentage of awareness. Now, that's a huge amount of information. But as you, again, familiarize yourself with this information, you start to see that there are seven, I like what Herb Fitch calls them in Revelation of St. John, purposes, divine gifts. We have to read, hear, and keep. So you have to understand what all of this looks like and how it is working before you can walk, reason through the open door of Revelation. There's a lot of preparatory work that must be in place if you want to think with God as God. It's not just some declaration that I'm spiritual. Divine mind doesn't try, strive, struggle, seek, or plan, or ask. It knows.
Swami, let's get your thoughts on this verse from the book of John, chapter 12, verse 25, and I'll read it. Jesus says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." End of the verse.
Yeah, he says this after Philip and Andrew bring the Greeks to him. Now, the Greeks were known for reason and human intelligence as opposed to emotion and reaction. And just before he says this verse, he says in verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." End of quote. Thinking only gets humanity so far, and there's more to go. Like we say, walk reason through the open door of Revelation. The human body is really like a seed. It's an opportunity, and it must be buried in the silence and stillness of divine revelation before it can be born again of spirit. In fact, in the parable or the story of the resurrection of Lazarus, you have to understand that Lazarus is dead and buried before Christ calls him out. This is a prerequisite of mastering the mind-body complex before we can graduate to thinking with divine mind.
Swami, how do I know what mind I'm thinking with?
Yeah, that's a good question. The rational mind, the mortal mind, first of all, is in time, it's in space, it sees form and matter, it has a personal sense of self, you work with human will. Divine mind doesn't strive, it doesn't seek, it doesn't try, it doesn't struggle, it knows the truth. It rests in perfect divine harmony. After a while, you start to see there's a big difference between when we believe in duality, because if you do something with your personal will, you can do that for good or for bad. Because that's the dynamics of duality. It's a belief in two powers, good and evil. But it's an ever-ending, never-ending cycle. Whereas divine mind, if anything is done under the jurisdiction or government of divine mind, it is done for absolute goodness. So we use the testimony of our corporeal senses as the check engine light on the dashboard of consciousness. Consciousness is experience. Whatever it is that you are experiencing in your corporeal sense concept of life will give you clues as to whether you're sowing to the flesh or you're sowing to the spirit. Whether you believe in two powers or you believe in the one perfect life. The divine principle of perfection is all in all. Until we walk reason through the open door of revelation, we're hypnotized by the mental material world of energy, smoke and mirrors, and it is our belief in these images that perpetuates their existence. It relies on our belief for its existence. Spirit is the only self-existent power in the universe.
So let's discuss this quote, "I think, therefore I am."
Descartes said that. Thinking is the pulse of the false sense of life. But when Descartes said that, he may be referring to the personal sense of I. By stopping thinking, we can extinguish the personal sense of I. And as long as we have awareness of the divine omnipresence, we can rise into the one self. The idea here isn't to kill the personal sense of I. The idea here is to know the truth. There is only one life, and it's perfect. Like we said earlier, the process in development begins where we divide and conquer before we unite and stand. Until you have the principle of the divine omnipotence in your consciousness, what you're doing will virtually be powerless.
So I have a thought about that quote, "I think, therefore I am." What if Descartes meant, if he thinks with God as God, therefore I am, and am with a capital A? Does that make sense to you too?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he may very well have meant that, but collectively we have not interpreted that way. Had he explained that to the extent that humanity on a collective level was understanding the message of the Christ, I think collectively we would be in a completely different place. We would be a realized civilization. We would be walking in the kingdom of heaven on earth. instead of trying to fix all of these human problems that seem to be afflicting us.
We have a quote here from Mary Baker Eddy from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, and I'll read it. But thought, loosened from a material basis, but not yet instructed by science, may become wild with freedom and so be self-contradictory. End of the quote. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, please check me on this. There cannot be Christ identity and human anything. We live in human thought and we have human experiences, but when we know divine mind, we live in divine idea. We have divine experiences. Divine truth dispels the lie, therefore, no human life. Herb Fitch says it a different way in Fourth Dimension, Class 5B, and I'll read it. Until the spirit of truth is received in your consciousness, you're going to say again and again, what is the truth? What is the lie? How do I know this? How do I know that? And so the only interpreter of the truth has to be the spirit itself in you. And so we have all kinds of religions without the spirit of truth, all kinds of ways to truth, but there are no ways to truth. There's only truth. Truth is all that exists. And it all comes down to the fact that as long as there's a person looking for the truth, you have the lie looking for the truth. And the lie will not find the truth. And always the lie is the person who is looking for the truth. In the Christ teaching, there is no such person until he receives this realization that the person seeking the truth is the lie itself. The lie will continue to not find the truth. You must crucify the lie. You must crucify the person, and the human mind just shuns this as if it were a snake. End of quote. So here we're learning how to snuff out that false sense of self by first learning to control how you think. Then learning how to keep your mind aware on the presence of the invisible, intangible omnipresence of the divine principle. And in this silence and in this stillness, we watch, we wait, we listen, and we let divine truth reveal itself to us. And this is what Herb is talking about. Only divine self knows divine self. Only Christ knows Christ. To think with God as God is a very different experience than what we call thinking with these five corporeal senses. Divine mind thinks in terms of the absolute. There's no time. 5,000 years ago, two spirit is always. 5,000 years from now to spirit is always. There's no such thing as space. To spirit, everywhere is here. And so the more we start to understand the magnitude of spiritual identity, the difference between thinking and knowing, the difference between thought and idea becomes a very important part of your path of knowledge.
That completes our program for today. Listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. Once you're on any of the pages, you scroll down, you'll see several buttons there that you can press to further your understandings. Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and reflect divine truth. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga revelation. Namaste.